As I mentioned before, today is all about trying to find the truth. And we had a meeting with our players, and I think we can look at the first, second, and third quarter, and there was a lot of things that took place. I'm sure you'll ask me questions about that. But what it really came down to was the fourth quarter. We had a chance. We were in the lead in the start of the fourth quarter, and then each unit took turns not fulfilling our responsibility, whether it was offense where we had 2-3 and outs defensively, gave up a couple touchdown drives, and special teams, you know, roughing a punter and a blocked punt and a blocked field goal. So each unit took responsibility for that. And, you know, when you have a lead like that going the fourth quarter against a good team like Minnesota, you got to take advantage of those opportunities, and each unit has to come through, and we didn't do that yesterday.
Miles Jack's playing time has gone down a little bit to 12 snaps yesterday. Granted, Scoot is back, but what is Miles not doing to sort of seize that job?
It's not that he's not doing anything. It's some of it based on the personnel groupings that we saw. Yesterday we chose if they went to a heavier personnel grouping, get a chance to get Dan on the field a little bit more.
How has Miles played in the last month or so?
I think he's played pretty well. We're seeing splash plays by him, and I think we're very pleased with his progress.
What's your evaluation of the special teams effort and the overall performance?
Well, I mean, it wasn't up to our par. I think when you take a look at it, there was mistakes by units throughout the whole day. It started off, we had 3 for 3 in field goals. We had the fake punt. I thought that was excellent. So it started off with some good things. They had a long kickoff return. He's pretty polished returner. We knew that he had the capabilities of doing that. But I just thought in the second half especially, there were some the errors that we made that were uncharacteristic of us. And we just can't have them. Can't have them in this game.
The Myers penalty, how does that happen on a kickoff delay game?
Delay game. Now, that one you can put on us as coaches. What took place was we had a deep kick on that, and we changed it to go to more of a squib based on what we saw. So with that, we changed personnel as far as how they were aligned on the kickoff team, and we switched it, and the call got in, but they didn't recognize it, the players, and so there's communication taking place, and it led to that. So
you were going to squib it either way, even after the penalty you did.
Yes.
Okay, so then was the wind involved? Because usually Myers can hit that end zone.
He can, but this guy's very talented, and I think it was at that point. But, he'll return them 8-9 yards deep in the end zone.
So then after the penalty, why keep the squib on?
Oh, because we probably weren't going to get it kicked in the end zone, out of the end zone.
So that's
then.
More reason to yeah. squib it with the
– He's very talented. Now, it can look like, just as far as opportunities, where you want to pin him, do you want to – sometimes a squib. The squib wasn't – the one that we had wasn't designed to go to the 25 or wherever it went. You're hoping that it gets through there and goes all the way through and allows time for the coverage team to get there. So it wasn't the ideal squib that the one that you saw.
It seemed like there were a few miscommunications on special teams throughout the game. How much of that is on coaching, and then how much of that?
Well, it's like I said, shared responsibility. There's some things, you put in a game plan, and then you ask the players, they got to execute, and that's their job. And it's also our job as coaches to put players in position to make plays. And I think you saw both of that take place yesterday.
Overall, in addition to that penalty, there's 14 total. There's 4 false starts, including one of them on your quarterback. I mean, is this kind of stuff that happens to 11 teams?
Well, I don't know. I think the penalties have been knocked down pretty good the last couple of games prior to this. But the false starts, that was we went into the game without getting in too much detail with some of the looks that they did. They came out and gave some different looks, and it affected the communication with the quarterback and the offensive line. And it wasn't going very well right away for us. But then after we got it corrected on the sideline in the second quarter, I think, and then it went away.
The same official called what, in many people's estimation, were some borderline penalties with the roughing the punter and with the personal foul on Jalen when he kind of held up and then sort of semi-tossed the receiver he was guarding. Has this team developed a reputation where officials are now looking out for, hey, personal fouls, you've had some encounters with
No, I don't see that. I think that, you like consistency from the officiating crew. Each crew is different. You'd like everything to be the same, but it's not the case. I think so you get to know that crew, some things what they've called in the past and what they don't call. and then you just you kind of have an understanding who they are as a group.
I was surprised to read the pass rush was shut out sack-wise.
Yeah, that's you know what? And they did a lot of short, intermediate pass game. They took some shots, but they went after more shots yesterday. And when they do that, you're hoping to get a little bit more heat on the quarterback. Now, they also show a little bit more max protection.
You won the turnover battle, had two goal line stands. At what point do you just kind of chalk it up to, hey, you know, this defense is playing as well as we can play, we have to kind of just adjust to the offense?
Well, I didn't think that, you know, with our standard where we want the defense to go, I didn't feel like the defense, you know, played great yesterday. You know, I think that, you know, they had a couple goal line stands, but when we need them, there's a couple 9-play drives and a 10-play drive and a 9-play drive. And in situations like that, it's the defense's job to go out there and get quick stops and get the offense opportunities. And we didn't do that. And I just felt like far too many explosive plays. These weren't 16-yard passes, 20-yard passes. They had some 40-yard passes and some, you know, 30-yard passes. So in our situation, or defensively, that's just, you know, not up to our standard.
Special teams, that's 8 straight weeks with a pretty major miscue on special teams. Is there anything overall that you look at special teams as to why it's not better?
Sure. You know, I think, yeah, you do. I mean, to say that, no, we're good. That's not the case. You know, I've had quite a few meetings with Mel on this. And you talk about the execution. You look in the past, you know, a couple of years ago, we were very good in our coverage units, very good. So, you know, sometimes you look at – you always got to try to stay ahead of the game, though. So you look at areas like that. And then we've got some new players in there and trying to position where they are best. That's what I meant by personnel placement. Where do you want guys and having specific responsibilities on your units? You know, but it's not an excuse. You know, a guy like Porter's new, Alex Ellis is new, Josh Johnson. But those guys didn't have any issues. You know, they went out there and executed pretty well. So I think just overall, you always take a look at it as a coach. You always take the responsibility first, I believe. And I know Mal feels the same way. You see what you coach, and then you go from there. But the players also have to look at it the same way.
Is there a difference in philosophy? Some coaches want to bring in one or two special teams aces, and then I don't think you've done that in your 4 years here,
right,
in terms of having a guy like a Montel Owens or a, you know, one of those.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I think that when you look at position groups and you say, all right, that sixth linebacker that you have, maybe he's not the ideal fit for you defensively, but he's a really good special teams player, and you feel like you can get him up. Then, you know, I think there's teams that have that philosophy, and I think they bring great leadership. I know when I was in Seattle, a guy like Heath Farwell did that and brought great leadership to the special teams unit. So some teams have that philosophy. You know, if there is a guy out there, those guys are hard to find. We choose to try to develop somebody into that role.
In your goal line all year, but yesterday was 9 snaps worth. You've taken off Gibson and Talvin for Pollard and Jared Wilson. Why do you like that look?
Well, I think it gives guys an opportunity. And I thought, you know, now that you mentioned it with Hayes, I thought he played really, really well down there. He made some plays. I mean, it wasn't just one or two plays. You saw him around the ball a lot. He really disrupted plays. So, and for that reason, a guy has that package that he can take ownership into it, and he goes out there for those plays, and it's pretty cool. So I think it was great to see how well he played in that situation.
Going back to the pass rush, you mentioned yesterday the linebackers not winning one-on-ones was an area of concern. Did the film kind of back up with you?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough across the league. You see that, you know, especially when you see, like, our running backs, sometimes they'll try to take away space by moving closer to the line of scrimmage. And so it's not like, oh, just rush them through an open gap and they should win that. It's a one-on-one, but we like to win more than we lose. And, you know, but they're good in protection, and, you know, we feel like we got some guys that have got to win on some pressures. I know Puzz has had some sacks on pressure. So it's not like we haven't done it. But when you get those one-on-ones, you like to see at least affect the quarterback.
You gave up the 3 40-yard completions to get them in position. On the one that digs, is Puzzlezzi supposed to carry him a little bit further down the middle of the field?
Yes. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. We had split safety.
Yeah. Is he supposed to get a hand on him? I mean, he went untouched off the line.
Yeah, we didn't cover it. The responsibility, I'm not going to get into it too much, but, yeah, he should not be that wide open.
You mentioned the fourth quarter, really the last 20 minutes of the game. You guys go up, 90-yard drive, 4 minutes, the defense should be rested, and then did they just wear down at the end? Because three times, I mean, you stopped them once, but three times they just marched right down the field pretty much.
Yeah, you know, we missed some tackles now yesterday. That's the other thing. You know, not only the explosive plays, but I didn't think it wasn't one of our better tackling days. I know you're going to ask, so I think it was it was around 14 missed tackles. So that's, you know, we haven't been in double-digit missed tackles for a while.
And it's guys who, it was guys who've normally been pretty good tacklers, Telvin and Cyprian and, you know.
Right. And he's a good back. You know, he's I think he's excellent in the open field especially. You know, he did a nice job.
Haven't talked to Julius, put on IR, and Audric. Are they headed for any kind of surgeries or what's their?
I'm not aware of that.
On Thomas, hurt last year at the beginning. Couldn't really find a role except for some touchdowns. Why hasn't he been a better fit for this offense the last 2 years?
Well, I mean, he's talented without a doubt. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's hard when you are injured like him, and he had legitimate injuries. I mean, the one he's going through right now, he's, you know, it's a painful deal for him. So in order to be a part of it and get in that rhythm, you have to practice, and it's twofold. So, but, yeah, you're right. I think that part, I think it's frustrating on both sides, you know, that we didn't get him going as much as we'd like, and he feels the same way.
Audric had a up and down year with all the injuries. How did he play when he was healthy?
Jared Audric is, I mean, his skill set is unique, and what we ask him to do. So he provides, some rush for us, but I think the biggest thing for him is his ability. You know, we can get into some different fronts because of his skill set and allows us that flexibility, similar to Tyson.
You've been able to go down the field with Marquise a lot. Why has he been so effective?
Well, I think I mentioned this yesterday. I just think he's playing, he's very highly competitive, and I think where he's at as far as a mindset and how he goes out there, he's playing with a lot of confidence. And when you play with that much confidence, that's what you're seeing out there on the field by him. So he's just in a really good place right now.
What'd you make out of A-Rob's
day? Good. Challenging. You know, he's seen a lot of split safety and guys over the top of him. And, you know, but that's got to open up some things for other players, you know, some other one-on-ones. That's why you're hopeful that Marquise Lee, when he gets his opportunities, I thought Brian Walters played pretty well. These guys got to come through when those things happen in order to kind of balance it up a little bit.
Is he not playing with the confidence that Marquise is right now? Because you talk competition, you know, guys, I mean, he and Allen Burns really worked.
Right.
Fell off each other last.
Right. I think they're going through different battles. I think A-Rob is getting a little bit different looks right now, which, you know, he knew was coming with some success that he had last year. And Marquise will go through the same thing now. You know, if he becomes too effective, you know, as a former defensive coordinator or involved with it a lot, when there's a really good player, you try to do everything you can to take, you know, his skill set away. And so if you start putting up good days after good days, you know, you're going to see some different looks. And that's the challenge these guys are going to go through.
Optimistic on Ivory this week?
He seems to be much better. How much better he'll be as the week goes on, that's yet to be determined.
Where's Bowenko at in terms of ability to be ready for something?
Well, if there would have been if there had been something take place yesterday, he would have went in. So, you know, he's getting his reps, and, you know, it's his first time active now. You know, so, you know, we'll see how our injury report comes out and see how much, what chances for this week he has.
Is there any thought of getting him in there to get him some game action that he hasn't had in such a long time?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens this week. He might have a good opportunity this week.
At this point of the season, do you do anything different?
Yeah, I mean, there's some areas that are non-negotiable, and then there's other areas that, yeah, you're always trying to compete and do different things and try to challenge your team. We did different things, like I mentioned last night. We had a couple different pressures in that we've had to give different looks. So the fake punt, you're always, you know, as far as something different, if it gives you a competitive advantage, you're always looking to, you know, have some change-ups.
More than one player the last couple of weeks say something to the effect of, I had bet my whole salary this year that it wouldn't have turned out like this. Can you remember a more disappointing season that you've been a part of in your career as far as what?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't sat back and put it all together, but, yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, it's disappointing. I would say without a doubt it's been disappointing, you know, but it's where we're at right now, so You know, we got to go. We got another game coming up, and we got to get ready for it.
When you got a quarterback who's dealing with guys that haven't played much, you know, especially at the tight end position, and there's not a lot of chemistry there, routes maybe not run the right way or not run as deep as they need to be, how frustrating is that for him to deal with on top of everything else that he's going to have?
If he is frustrated with it, he doesn't show it, you know, in my conversation with him. I think that, you know, everybody – really what everybody wants is guys out there giving 100% effort. You know, and whatever your skill level is, just make sure it's your best skill level and you're at your best. And if you're going, you know, 100 miles an hour, I think everybody can live with that.